Broadcasting live from the After Hours AM studio, Joel Sturgis and Eric Olson.
Of After Hours AM coming to you live directly from where, Greg? Where are we coming from, Greg? I forgot where.
We are tonight live at the Palmer House in Sauk Center, Minnesota.
That's the rumor around town. We are at the Palmer House, and I got a full crowd. House is full. And Mr. Eric Olson, you're missing a big party. You're stuck over there in Cleveland, Rock City, but yeah, we wish you were here.
Oh, heck. I'm there virtually, aren't I?
Kind of, sort of, in a way. Man, but we got a lot of stuff going on tonight. Well, number
I'm
one.
I'm in Norwegian.
It's you, kind you of are, like Charlie's you Angels. You're just a box with a voice. So
yeah, that's it. At Christmas, and everyone goes, oh, my God, stay away from that guy. And that's kind of like what you are right now. Because all they can hear is your voice. Exactly. Hey, man, you know what? We're doing a lot tonight, and we are, like I said, come, you guys. iHeartRadio is picking us up. We are live on iHeartRadio, UPRN, IRN, Dark Matter Radio Network. I could keep going on and on and on, but we don't want to bore anybody after all because we are 100% live in a great location. But I'd like to talk to one lady in particular that really has opened her heart to us. That's Kelly Fries. Without her, we wouldn't have any of this. Oh, and thanks for letting us do this over here.
Oh, no, this is thank you. It's my pleasure.
Is this your first live remote in the building?
For me, yes.
Really cool. So we are the first. So why don't you tell everyone about the Palmer?
Ah, well, a little bit of history about the Palmer House is it was built in 1901 after a fire burned down the previous building that was here. And one of the interesting things about the Palmer House is that from the day it was built and until today, it has always operated as a hotel, restaurant, and a pub. So it's as much the longevity of the business as it is the building that makes it unique.
Now, I got to ask you something right away. I'm in room 15. Okay, is that haunted? I just got to know.
Well, what I tell people is the first 2 years we had the Palmer House, I did all of the housekeeping, and there isn't a place in the building that I haven't had experiences.
See, I was hoping you're gonna say, no, that's the one room here that it's not haunted. You're good to go. Because, you know, I get a little Scooby-Doo once in a while. I'll run away. Every once in a great while, I get a little scared. But no, that's very, very cool. And I know that you guys have had a ton of ghost adventures has been here, a lot of other TV shows. And I got to say, this place is beautiful. Beautifully done, really keeping it really original. That's the thing that struck me right away was the way it is. What's the word, Greg? What am I thinking of?
Awesome.
Awesome, but it's period correct. Oh. You know, I mean, it's you definitely took time to keep it that way.
Well, it's important to me to maintain that integrity of the building as much as we can.
Now, you are featured in Ghost Adventures, right? You were on this big screen. It was pretty cool to see you. What was it like to have the boys here? I mean, were they a little unnerved as they stayed the night? What was behind the scenes feel?
Actually, it was an amazing experience. Yeah, actually, they were. They were at one point, I think within being here within the first half an hour, Zach had stepped outside and was calling somebody on the phone and telling them, you know, we don't even have
calling his therapist going, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, but they just had their equipment out and were testing it, and they were getting responses, and a variety of things were happening that had they were pretty surprised that they weren't even working yet, and they were aware of things
going
on.
Yeah, because I know so. I watched the episode today before I drove here, and I'm from Duluth area, so I had a good four-hour drive. Thinking of that episode, the back of my head going, yeah, I really don't want the one where it's the two chairs, and I don't want that girl mad at me in ghost form because, yeah. Things are going to get real.
Yeah, right. She would have the advantage.
The problem, Kelly, is women don't like me anyway. And so, I know, right? It's true. It's true. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. Yeah, they all hate me. But, no, it's a very, very cool place, and I couldn't thank you enough for allowing us to come in here and do these events and for everyone to learn.
I guess that's what is probably my biggest driving force behind all of it is there's a history here that needs to be maintained.
Sure.
Architecture that needs to be maintained. But I also believe that the Palmer House is a place for people to maybe broaden their horizons and learn and be willing to think outside the box.
So, Kelly, I've been here a number of times, and I've investigated. We did one of our webisodes of Minnesota Ghost Box here. Loved it. Loved being here. But one of the things that I noticed when I came back here tonight was a wonderful piece of art at the back of the building, and I'd love it if you could tell us what is going on there.
It's kind of a fun story. The 16 years ago when I came to the Palmer House, that was a vision I always had from day one. Something that I wanted to do was to commemorate Sauk Senher's boyhood hero, Sinclair Lewis, the first American to ever win a Nobel Prize for Literature. And it always fell under the category of things I wanted to do. It wasn't a need. Needs are like freezers and things like that. And I just recently became a reality through a set of very unfortunate circumstances, but lost a dear friend, and their family asked that all memorials as a result of that go to making this a reality. And you weren't supposed to make me talk about stuff that is going to make me cry. So anyway, yes, now I have Sinclair Lewis on the building. We've been
it's beautiful.
Doing a lot of fundraisers, trying to get it paid for. It was more than just the mural. You have to have a palette for the artist to work with, and the building needed work too, and it was time to do it. So it was my pleasure to do it to honor.
Very, very awesome. Yeah. My co-host, Eric, he is the author of America's Most Haunted. It's one of the hottest paranormal books about different locations. Aren't you, Eric?
Good God, yes. And by the way, no, because they all like me.
They all love you, right? You're the ladies' man. That's the rumor I heard around town anyway.
Well, most of them do.
Well, except
for may only be like 99%, but...
Yeah, let's not get that high. Ball. Come on now. Have you been drinking tonight? Because if you're saying 99%...
Anyway, let's be honest for a minute. I'm the co-author of America's Most Haunted, the 10 most haunted public or semi-public locations in the nation, my friends.
Yeah, so I'd like to, if you do, I know you're talking about a sequel, Eric. You got to get the Palmer in your next book. When you're getting ready to put pen to paper again, you got to come here and check it out. Hello, Eric. Are you there? Are you there, Eric? Are you live, Eric?
Now I...
Oh, good. Well, what I was saying is that when you're ready to put pen to paper, you need to come to the Palmer, man, and check it out and get in the next book.
Okay, I heard all that. Yes, I've been poring over the website, and I was checking out the things that go bump in the night page. And lots
they're
of
up
cool
next. Books. They are up next, by the way.
My only question is, when I click on the haunted link from the Palmer House page, it goes nowhere.
And that's with intent. We actually recently, I had asked that be taken down. Because we had some other big projects going on here, and we had taken a break from doing some of the tours and investigations and things that we normally do while we were filming another television show. And so that site will be coming back up with opportunities for people to come here and do tours, sign up for things. We just haven't had the time to be conducting them the last few months.
So here's an easy question for you. What is the most profound paranormal experience that you've had within the walls of the Palmer?
I think probably one day I was just passing through the building, and I watched a person walk into the building, and as they started walking towards me, I was making a few small steps towards them. Didn't want to shout at them across the room, but waited till they were a little bit closer to me to say, well, welcome to the Palmer House. Are you joining us for a bite to eat? And at the same time, I had one of my employees walk up behind me and say, Kelly. And as I turned around to say yes, they said, who are you talking to? And when I turned around, the person was no longer there. So that's pretty profound.
Well, and I also remember the last time that I was here for Suzanne's event, you spoke to us, and I don't remember all the details, and I think it's before you owned the Palmer, was doing the walkthrough and the one room that had all the flies on the floor, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, yes.
Which I thought was a pretty interesting story.
That is, and you know, so often people will ask me about stories, and then they'll jog my memory like you just did, and I'll go, yeah, that was a really good one. And you know, when I say I've forgotten more than I remember, that's the truth. And actually, yes, that's room 11, and room 11 has been pretty funky today as well. So
Lisa was a 15. I'm just saying.
It's just out. No, it's not even on the same floor. Sorry.
Well, maybe thank God go for small favors. But, you know, it's really, really cool. And this event is cool, but it wouldn't be anywhere without the team. Minnesota Goes Bump. Or Goes Bump Minnesota. Sorry, I didn't mean to murder your name, your team name, Ryan. And John and Ryan are here. Love to get them on air with us. And Kelly, thanks a ton for coming on. Love to have you back on the show.
No.
To give you an entire show to talk about the Palmer.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks a ton.
Happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. And now we got the team. Goes Bump Minnesota, guys.
Still not right.
John Marsh.
Now I'm just messing with them. Now I'm just absolutely messing with them. But no, guys, how did you guys form your team, I guess, is the first question. Now we can get a little kidding out of the way.
Well, John and I had been working together for quite a while, and we just started talking about our previous experiences and
sure.
Decided, you know, let's go out and try this. We went to a couple of public events and figured out it's something that we really enjoyed doing, and we decided to start the group and help people out there and, you know, be that piece of help that people might need.
Well, the name, Things That Go Bump Minnesota, is a very cool name. How did you come up with that one?
That was all John.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a... sort of strange, you know, it's just from the experiences you've had, things that go bump, and why not?
Exactly. Eric, man, what do you make of all this?
Well, if I didn't know better, I would say it sounds like a room full of Minnesotans there.
Oh, it is, man. Minnesota represent!
All right, so you're all gophers.
Say, hey, we're Minnesota nice, okay? That's what we are.
And you're all Norwegians except those who are not.
Exactly.
I think it sounds like a lot of fun and a lot of people with upper Midwestern accents hanging out together and having a good old time. You got the bar going because, you know, it's Minnesota. And
sure.
So what I want to know is, has anyone done any investigating yet, or are we going to actually try to do something live on the air?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Because
we're
that
not.
I'm glad I asked.
No.
Here's
the deal. We had promised to give away a spirit box tonight at the Palmer House. And so for those who want to win one, good luck to you. It's actually, there's over at the bar, you have to be here to win. Over at the bar, there is like a little fish bowl or something that you can put your name in, and then we'll randomly draw it out. The spirit box is being personally delivered, couriered from St. Michael, Minnesota, as we speak. So it's on its way in an armored car.
that is actually keeps the demons in. Did I say demons? I meant friendly spirits. And I'm going to give that away tonight. So please, anybody who's here who would like to win, please sign up. And what we're hoping to do is I've used a spirit box once or twice. So I somewhat know how to use it, and I'd love to show people how to use it. And we can do that after the show or during the show or whatever it takes. So, Eric, how's that for an answer? It's not a very good answer, I'm afraid, but we're trying. We're trying over here. Did I make you go to sleep again? He's gone.
Who, me?
Yeah, we're talking to you the whole time.
You guys are breaking up on me.
Oh, well, that's hard to do.
I heard like every fourth word.
Ah, good. Oh, then you didn't hear the bad stuff about you. Good, good, good.
Minnesota, box,
coast. Well, you know, being that we're in doing a remote and we're doing it via Wi-Fi, folks, and so it's normal that Eric way over there in Cleveland with his ultra slow internet would have such a hard time picking everything up. But what Greg was saying is we will be giving away a spirit box, or better known as a SB7 is how everyone knows it. And you can win that if you come on down here, and maybe we'll give away tonight, maybe we'll give away tomorrow. We don't know. But more importantly, there's an event going on, man. There's a big event going on. Let's talk about the event.
Well, our event starts tomorrow night, and I believe check-in starts at 4 o'clock, and we have some attendees here tonight, which is nice to see them, and thank you for coming. We're all going to do a little bit of hanging out tonight and just getting ready for the weekend, and hope everybody has a great time. I'm sure they will. When we walked into this building today, this place was already buzzing, and I think the spirits are ready to communicate.
I had my first paranormal experience. I didn't want to say anything until I hit airtime. I was coming down the steps after grabbing our monitor. I heard someone behind me, right behind me on the steps. I turned around to say, oh, hi. I didn't even know you're behind me. Excuse me. Nope. No one was there. It was like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. You just knew that someone was behind you. It really freaked me out a little bit. So
the Palmer is feeling hot, and I think we're going to have a great weekend doing everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely agree.
And we also have 9 tickets left if people still want to purchase.
Come on down, buy a ticket.
Yep.
Enjoy the Palmer.
Or go to the website, things that go bump MN, and purchase it online, or come down and see us, and we can take care of business that way.
Exactly. We could definitely take care of everybody. But Eric, man, question for you is,
yes,
when you were writing,
I can hear you.
When you were, yes, you can hear me now, can't you? Wonderful. When you were writing America's Most Haunted, did the Palmer ever make the list, or is this a new thing for you that you just recently heard about it?
I do recall it on Ghost Adventures. Has it been on any of the other shows?
Oh, it's been on lots of other shows.
I recall it being mentioned when I looked at the website and saw, you know, what it looks like. It did bring back conjure memories. As far as the book went, the book is almost all what are fairly obvious super haunts. There are a few hotels, or at least modern current day hotels. But a lot of its former institutions, it's a lot of the obvious ones.
Well, that's where we belong, man. So, I mean, you're writing about the right thing. But the reason why I bring that...
Or ancient murder homes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what the tales are from there. Go ahead.
The reason why I bring it up is because it's a bit new for me. I've never been here. I always wanted to get here. And to already have an experience coming down the steps, all right, let's see what the rest of the night has to hold. So I think John's absolutely right. It's primed, and it always seems to be – it's very welcoming here. You don't feel any kind of dread or anything when you come through. So
no, absolutely.
Very, very welcoming place. It seems like the spirits are more curious of us than we are of them at the moment, just trying to figure out what this guy's doing here, this microphone in his hand. But, hey, man, go ahead and tell us tonight. I guess we should really talk about who our guest is tonight before we get too far into things. Who are we having on tonight, Eric?
Very interesting show. He is a novelist, and we're certainly interested in the novels. But
sometimes.
Really,
probably even more so, we're interested in the underlying feature, and that is we are talking with author Douglas Robinson about real-life vampires. These are not the vampires who sleep in coffins. These are not the undead. These are not supernatural. These are actual human beings who are somehow, in his estimation anyway, his theory, they've been altered in some way, and they actually do require blood to live, and that's what his novel series is about.
Yeah, so it'll be kind of the top of next hour. It's really going to suck. I mean, it's really going to be great. Get it? Vampires suck. I guess top rule. Come on.
Absolutely. Hey, while we have, I know we're getting near the bottom of the hour, bottom of the hour. I would love to hear, who are these spirits that inhabit the Palmer House? Any of the historical tales about who
Kelly
these people
could tell
are
it.
Or
any,
former
any
people
of
are?
Our,
I'd love to hear that.
Any of our really accomplished paranormal investigators could pretty much give you a rundown of what they've found. I don't think anyone 100% knows yet, Eric, but I think there's a good indicator.
Who is at the Palmer House? Boy, there's just so many different spirits. It's
So there's up on the third floor, there's Lucy and Raymond.
Yep, we have someone named Lucy, yes.
And like the second floor, what is it, room? Is it room? Annie is in 11. Annie's in 11. Personally speaking, Eric, when we did our shoot there, we were able to get Annie's name a number of times through the spirit box in her room. And, you know, as validation goes, that's a pretty big deal. So, I mean, we've been able to get Lucy's name. We've been able to get Raymond's name. We were able – one of the freakiest things, though, is if you go down to the basement, there's this lovely Christmas ornament that's about a four-foot-tall snowman. And this thing is purported to move. And if I'm not mistaken, Ryan, you may have heard it move, right?
Yeah, I actually heard and saw it move. I was going through after one of our events. It wasn't the last one, but it was a previous one. And I was just making sure nobody else was in the room, shutting off all the lights and everything. Walked into this room, and as soon as I turned on the light, the thing moved like 6 inches towards me, heard it dragging across the floor, scared the crap out of me. Was not expecting that at all.
No, I'd like to open up the mic when we come back from break. There's a lot of other folks that like to talk about the Palmer, so don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. We're going to take our break a little bit early, Eric, just so we have a little more time on that backside. And we'll be right back right after this. Don't go anywhere, live at the Palmer House. Back live. This is After Hours AM. I'm your host, Joel Sturgis. Right along with me,
Eric Olson.
And Greg Bakken tonight.
And we are talking over here at the Palmer House Live's beautiful Sox Center, Minnesota. You're going to want to come down here, enjoy the event that's coming up. Things that go bump Minnesota, putting on a great event, loving it. Great people, great speakers. And there's only a few tickets left. Make sure you come down and get a ticket and get a chance to win a spirit box as well. Now, we have one more awesome, awesome, talented individual that wants to come and take the mic. Two more, rather. Wow, we got a jam-packed first hour. Mask, who you are and what your place is on the team.
My name is Natalie Fowler.
Hi, Natalie.
I'm an author.
Oh, cool.
And I'm also a member of Ghost Stories, Inc. We do events up here as well.
Really?
We teach writing classes and take our participants on ghost hunts in the name of creative inspiration.
Very cool. Yes. Can I go on one of those maybe?
Of course.
That'd be awesome because I need some inspiration once in a while.
Yes.
Some creative inspiration, you know, that whole thing. How did that become about? How did you kind of decide to do that?
Our founder of the group is Jessica Freeberg, and she is also a mystery writer and paranormal author. She just decided it would be a great way to, it was a good idea to, for her platform to create a ghost hunting group that goes on ghost hunts. In
Why
the
not?
Yes.
It goes together like peanut butter and jelly.
So the
if
one
you're
thing
gonna
that
have a ghost hunting group, Joel, you might as well go on ghost hunts.
You know, that's true. If you're going to have a ghost hunt, you might as well if you got a group. I mean, come on. Otherwise, what do you do, sit around and play Nintendo or something? I mean, you're right.
Well, we figured that if you're going to be writing about these scary things, you might as well go experience for yourself.
So the one thing that we should talk about is what you're going to be doing at this Palmer event tomorrow night, because that's going to be pretty exciting.
Yes. Tomorrow night, I'm teaching a writing class. We will be down in the basement, and I am going to talk a lot about how to be inspired by your surroundings, and it's a little something we call method writing, where you put yourself in the position that your characters would be in order to experience what they would experience, and then you can write about it.
Well, if you don't inspire people, I don't think anything will. I mean, come on. Down in the basement, writing about ghosts, that whole thing. Sounds like a great time, and people can take part in that by buying a ticket, of course, coming and joining all of us. And we're nowhere near done with this whole thing, and it's really going to be a lot of fun. But I cannot stress, there's only a few tickets left, so do not hesitate. If you feel like you want something fun to do this weekend, get down here, buy a ticket. We will sell you one. Heck, I'll sell you mine. I'll sell you someone else's. I'll beat someone up to get you in here. Don't worry. You have no idea the levels that I will go to make sure you get here. But that being said, now, as far as your paranormal goes, you've been here before at the Palmer, right?
Yes, many times.
So what was your experience here at the Palmer? What's your most notable?
I have a lot of favorite experiences here, but my most favorite of all was the last time I was up here. I was up at an event for Suzanne Worthley, and she'll be talking next. But I was down in the basement with the guys from Things That Go Bump, and we were in one of the back rooms of the basement. And we had a ghost that was actively interacting and very much playing with us. He would move from one chair to the next and follow our equipment around, and the meters were going off, and it was very clear that he would go from one chair to the next to the next. It was very fun.
That sounds like a hoot to me.
You know, and one of the things, too, and we don't need to necessarily get into it because it's a little bit more personal just for everybody involved. But, you know, the thing, too, is when people talk about paranormal experiences and whatnot, we talk about the cool stuff of the spirits and whatnot. But also, we all had this kind of a pretty serious and emotional experience with a child that same event.
Yes.
During the day on Saturday. And it's something that is worth bringing out, that, you know, doing a paranormal investigation is not about, you know, getting the meters to go off and stuff. Sometimes it's about, as we tried to cross over this person, yes. Which is it's important to remember that, I think.
Yes. A friend of mine, Kevin Swanson, he calls it spirit rescue, and Swanny. I think that's really, really, really appropriate name for it.
Very, very cool. Now, do you teach? Excuse me, guys. You caught me live with some food in my mouth. I'm sorry. I'm starving to death. But, do you teach this 101, the writing? Like if someone called you up and said, hey, what's some inspiration in my life?
I'm a freelance editor, so if you've written something, you can hire me to read it.
Boy, do I need you. I'm so happy I met you. You have no idea.
But I'm also the researcher for our group. So on Saturday morning, I will be teaching a segment of the class on how to research a haunted house. And that's pretty fascinating to my...
Give me 2 minutes of that. What do you do? What do you tell people? Where do they begin? They got a haunted house. Obviously, it's haunted, so we established that. But how do you find out who's haunting it?
Oh, I think there's a lot of ways you can go about it, and it certainly depends on the property. If you're researching something that's a little more notorious, like the Palmer House, it's pretty easy to find newspaper articles and things like that. If you're researching a private residence, that's a little more tricky, but there's certainly ways you can go about finding out some information. And I think one of the most important things as a paranormal investigator, when you walk into a situation where you are trying to gather evidence and figure out what the heck is going on in a house, one of the most valuable things you can have is names of people that have lived there. So anything you can do in your research to find names of people that have lived in the house or been in the house or in the property, I think that's like research gold.
Heck yeah. Find out who died there too. I mean, that's all sometimes, you know, going through those kind of records. But man, it was great talking to you. Very, very cool. You know, get out of here, kid. Yeah. Who's next? No, just kidding, of course.
All right, see you later.
I'll be talking to you soon.
And thank you, Natalie. Next up.
Hey, Natalie.
Yeah, now time for the nice host to talk. We're going to also talk to Suzanne Worthley, who we've known each other for a while. Suzanne is an energy practitioner. She's also incredibly talented, intuitive. So Now, I've probably been to about maybe four or five events with you, and every single time I'm more and more impressed with what you're doing.
Oh, thanks.
Could you please explain to everybody what is it that you do?
What do I do?
What is it that you do?
I get that question a lot.
There's a couple different things to it, too. It's like on Saturday there's going to be a session that you're going to give, but that's kind of a truncated session of like your overall like workshop that you have, which will also be coming up in September.
Which I think you probably should come back to.
I thought I was.
No, I meant your remote. I meant your remote. Seriously.
I'm always thinking about
I'm locking right now at 22nd, 23rd, 24th of September.
We're here.
All right.
Consider it done.
Yeah,
we're here. For a nominal fee. No,
yeah. I'll pay you in ghost fee.
That's between you and Greg. But
I will teach you all you need.
We will come back. We'll be happy
That'd be
to come
awesome.
Back. That's
See, I'm doing this live on air so that you're totally committed.
We are totally committed. We would be happy to come back.
This is a marketing strategy. I'm
gotcha.
No fool.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah. We would love to come back.
We're on pause right now.
But yes, definitely. We'll definitely love to come back. But yeah, very, very cool. I mean, how did you get into the paranormal? I mean, you look like a normal person.
Well, actually, that's funny to even say that because I'm actually a mortician's daughter. And so from the get-go, I wasn't what we would consider a normal person. And death and dying was always like, you know, dinner conversation. And so dead people, dead things was like, that was normal. So I didn't understand for many years that dead wasn't normal. And I think that as I got into the world of healing and energy work, it became very apparent to me that death and dying was a critical part of that. And then I went into hospice work for quite a few years. So I was a end-of-life practitioner for hospice work, meaning that I helped the body shut down and moved them through the death process. And during that time, I learned a lot about the death process from the dying patients. And then that brought me into mediumship, which then got me talking to the ghosts, etc. So I was fortunate enough to actually meet Kelly at another event. And I, in my corporate life prior, was an event developer. So, of course, my little event brain went, oh, we could put these two modalities together and make a really cool event. And my goal in my event is to help people understand that death is not scary.
Yeah.
To honor it, to have experiences here, because this is an incredible classroom with unbelievable amounts of energies that come through, like a airport. They're just moving all the time. And I think it's a bevy of information. Is what it is here. So,
you know, we throw around the term paranormal because I'm a paranormal investigator. A lot of us paranormal investigators, but that's not how you see it. Though,
yeah,
right?
I don't do that
yeah,
word.
That's not dissing
anybody.
Nope, but it's what it is. Right?
Yeah, I actually have a little bit of a different feeling, and I think it's extremely important that anybody that does paranormal work needs to understand energy work, and they need to understand the rights and the wrongs, if we want to use that word, in terms of how you maintain your energy and how you stay safe and that you don't take anything home with you. Because we've had very many experiences at very many events where people take home hitchhiker energy. They get dropped in.
Okay, what's a hitchhiker energy? See, I don't pick up hitchhikers. My mother warned me against that. But
well, you may hear if you're not careful, so I highly suggest you listen in class. It's basically what this means is you have what's called your aura or your energy body that's surrounding your meat body that's sitting here. And that energy body has a tendency to be able to open in the field of that. And if you are anywhere fear-based, you can be dropped in on by a spirit or an entity. And they are basically hitchhikering off of your energy field. Okay, and it's usually fear-based.
Now, you got to show up. Everyone needs to show up and listen to you talk to maybe hear how to get rid of a hitchhiker.
Well, in my opinion, that's why anybody that does paranormal work has to understand their field, has to understand how to ground and protect and discern. But if you're really doing a place like the Palmer and having an event such as this, and this is part of the reason why the bump team has me come too, you need a healer on site. You need somebody that has a practice skill.
Some type of aftercare.
That I can literally pull it out of your field. And if you don't have somebody that can do that, you'll go home. And you will definitely
And that would not be good. Let me tell you, I already have people living with me I don't like. I don't need, a hitchhiker showing up next. But Eric, did you catch all that? I know that over there in Cleveland, the Skype is not as strong as it once was. Did you catch all that?
I did hear the great majority of it, and I found it very, very interesting. It's definitely a different approach. Once again, here one commonality is it's not unusual that we are talking to people who grew up
in mortuaries. We just were speaking to a mortician, in fact, a couple weeks ago, who's a forensic guy. And
From ID Discovery.
I thought everyone was dead. Isn't everyone dead?
No, I'm not dead unless you want me to be. I don't know. What do you mean by that? Is everybody dead?
No, I mean, that's what he thought growing up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he did. I remember when we talked to Graham. He's from ID Discoveries. I speak for the dead. Yes, he thought everybody was dead. But no, what she brings up a great point, though, is that, you know, we unintentionally could go dabbling and find ourselves in a bad spot and maybe not intentionally, you know, understand or not even understand what we got ourselves into.
Well, and not that, to... Oh, sorry. I was going to say not to knock the shows, but the shows that are on TV right now make it look like, whoa, let's piss off the ghost and have some fun with this. And that's actually very dishonoring to a disembodied spirit. And that's part of the reason why we do our spirit search event is to understand that honor and also to understand you don't really want to piss off a ghost.
Not generally speaking, no, because, you know, they got nothing but time.
Right.
I mean, it's not like you have to clock into work on Monday. I can hang around you all day, kick your ass. No one can do anything about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but shows like Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, they bring attention, though, to places like the Palmer, but also the history. So that's what I'm happy about. But I think you're right, though. I think maybe some cautionary should be thrown in there just a little bit, going, hey, you know, maybe unless you get some type of training,
right,
maybe, you know, a qualified individual to kind of take you through the ropes.
Or at least I think one of my favorite shows is Dead Files, in that they give an actual result at the end of the show, and they ask the person to consider shaman work, energy work, practitioner work to remove that stuff, and they have an honor to the system at the end instead of just stirring the pot and going, bye,
well,
you know?
Let me ask you that, though, because I find the one thing that frustrates me about something like Dead Files is that I don't feel like they actually they might actually suggest like a shaman or something, but most of the people they're talking to are people in rural areas that have no idea what you're talking about at all.
No access.
And they're left to try to find these people.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know if I appreciate that she comes up with people. I wish that they would do a little bit more to be able to finish the job.
So I think they just have to post www.sworthley.com because that's actually, I mean, that's the kind of work we people do. That's what energy workers do. We clear the land, we clear the energy, we settle it, we go into the grid systems of the earth. I mean, it's not just ghosts. It's land energy that makes the vortex in the first place, and it goes cosmic, and there's a really big pattern to this, and It's not easy work, and a whole lot of people can't necessarily clear. They can clear a house potentially, but if you've got land issues, you need a practitioner that does quantum work, and that's not so easy to find. So, yeah. Did that one go right over your head? Your face right now is like, I got nothing.
Normally I'm in studio and they don't see that. I'm
that
like,
just went whoop.
What?
Hello?
Okay. No, actually.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
Are you in there? One sec.
Yeah.
Excuse me, one sec. I would love to hear. I'm actually fascinated with what you just said about the grid and the quantum and clearing the land.
Yeah.
And that's what's creating a vortex in the first place.
Yeah. And we've even done it here at the Palmer.
Please explain all that.
Well, even the Palmer. Can I tell, Kelly? Is that fine? Okay. At the Palmer, when I first came here, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, it was not a balanced place, and there was a lot of dangerous energy. I witnessed it the very first time, as did John and Ryan, actually. We were downstairs, and there was some massive area that was just basically a portal of energy, which means it's an opening where negative energy can come through and move quite extensively into the building. Is dangerous. And I actually saw somebody get slapped and shoved by a ghost, and it was dangerous stuff. So I said to Kelly, why don't you let me go downstairs and restructure that? So what a worker like me does is I work with the hologram of the building. You, as a quote-unquote normal person, see this as brick and mortar. I see it as an energetic grid pattern of
makes
hologram.
Makes perfect sense now. You see the matrix.
Right. I am the matrix.
Okay, gotcha.
It's exactly.
Gotcha.
So what I do is I go in and I find the flaws in the matrix. And I reorganize the matrix. But see, the matrix will carry things. I did a clearing in Hinckley, Minnesota. And if you're familiar with Hinckley, if anybody's listening, Hinckley had the grand fires.
Toby's.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was doing a church thinking I was just moving ghost energy out of the church. And it was actually, I was actually moving the grid patterns from the late 1800s, early 1900s of the Hinckley fire and massively moving hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of not only bodies of ghosts, but animals, trees, elementals. It was insane. It was such cool.
Hold on. Don't you get kind of overloaded, though?
I was so psyched on that one.
Yeah, I mean, like, you get 300 people walking up to you going, help me out. I mean, how do you triage that? Or do you do it all once?
I open a portal, and I move everything at once. Okay. Yeah, and I was actually moving grid patterns, standing in Hinckley all the way up into Duluth, down to East St. Paul, over to Wisconsin. It was crazy. Wow. Yeah.
Well, you're always welcome back in Duluth. You know, we need some of that going on.
Actually, you got some messed up stuff.
Messed up stuff.
Hey, anytime you want to play, I'll go up and play because there's some really crazy stuff.
All of you guys, everyone that we've interviewed, including the guys that are put on this great event, the things that go bump Minnesota, are always welcome up in Duluth. I'd love to even have Kelly come up to Duluth. Maybe a lot walk alongside the lake, see the sights, and everyone's always invited to come check out those haunts as well. But I'm going to give the microphone to Greg because he has his hand out.
Joel, I have an announcement to make.
Yeah. Make your announcement.
The spirit box is in the building to give away. Oh, Robert. Thank you, Robert Franks. We really appreciate the spirit box since it didn't show up.
Henchman Robert has brought it down to us. And no, just kidding. Robert, man, thank you again for bringing it. Now, you guys have an opportunity to win the spirit box if you want to come down here and get your name in the ring, man. We got a fishbowl or whatever. It's a candy bowl full of names. The lucky participant that we draw, and I don't know who will draw that. We haven't discussed who the person is. If it's me, I will take bribes, just letting everyone know. You know what I mean? If that's what you want to do. But I'm not the best person to draw because I'm kind of corrupt that way. Yeah. I would have somebody else do it. But anyhow, that being said, you can win your very own SB7. It is really, really cool. I cannot wait to watch Greg. You know, we haven't talked to Greg yet, and that's someone I want to get on air with us during the remote. Because Greg, you know, he is kind of the unsung hero a little bit here of making the ghost box something that shouldn't be feared and maybe bringing some education with your show, Minnesota Ghost Box.
Well, I mean, and the thing about Ghost Box and what our whole idea is, because it's me, it's my co-investigator, Nicole Hoppola, and the thing about what we tried to do simply was to show that you can talk about spirits, you can talk about paranormal investigation and not make it scary, because that, in my mind, paranormal investigating is a beautiful thing. It's a gift. It's not anything more than that, because you can speak with people who have passed, loved ones, whatever. It's those people who want to talk to dark entities, you know, so be it. It's dangerous. I wouldn't do it. But what we wanted to do and what we came to the Palmer to do for our first episode of the web series was simply to show that this is a great place, that when you walk in, the energy is amazing, the spirits are amazing, and that that's all we want to do is help people and be able to get people to understand that these places, it's not all darkness, that there is some wonderful, beautiful light that's involved. As we always say, love and above when we do our investigations.
Man, very well said. You almost brought a tear to my eye and everything. Wow.
I thought there was just something wrong with your eye.
No,
so, oh, that's
I'm like,
great.
Wow. I am human once in a while. I do cry. Eric, man, did you catch all that?
I did. I heard that. That was very touching. And there should be a reason. It should be something more than just thrills or just purely scientific investigation, although, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But we're talking about, if we're correct, if the theories are correct, we're talking about former human beings who have some reason to be sticking around here and who may have some connection to us, or at least to the building where they're found or the area they're found. And we should care about them and how they turn out and how they got there in the first place. It should be more than just a one-dimensional thing. So I agree with that entirely. And again, I'm finding a lot of this discussion fascinating, learning some things I did not know. I've really not literally thought about our world as being a matrix grid,
matrix.
But apparently it is.
You have two pills you can choose from. Eat the blue pill. It's the matrix. But yeah, you're right, Eric. You're right. I mean, I didn't think of it in those terms. And when she brought the matrix, that clicked in my mind. Okay, now I get what you're talking about. Because before, to be honest, I look like a deer with the headlights, getting ready to hit my Mack truck, going, what the hell did she just tell me?
You sure did.
But it really, I know, thank you for reinforcing that.
No problem.
I know, really. And you know, it wouldn't be radio without you telling them that. No. But Eric, you know, it's very cool. You need to get here. You need to get to the Palmer.
Well, it sounds like a very interesting place that also draws interesting people.
It does. They're all interesting. All right. Now, we really haven't talked about how this is going to be given away, this ghost box.
Well, whoever has the most money, just give it to me and you get it. I mean, I don't know how else it would work.
You can own it for $153.27.
Well, I mean, has everyone who wanted to put money in my pocket, have you put it in yet?
Well, I haven't put my name in yet, but I'm disqualified, though, aren't I?
Yes, you certainly are.
Oh, rats.
I think that the person, why don't we have Kelly?
Yes.
First, I just want to make sure. You got to put your name in.
We're going to do this giveaway right here live, guys, and there's going to be other giveaways throughout the night. We're also going to offer maybe a couple of sessions down the road with a ghost box session. I'll do an EVP session.
Absolutely.
If somebody wants to come in, go one-on-one with Greg or me, which is kind of a frightening thing on its own, but, you know.
Hold on. Are we doing this? Are we doing this now? Is this really happening?
Yeah, let's do it now. Right, let's do this now.
The winner of the PSB7 Spirit Box at the Palmer House event. You got to get your hand in there more. I'm sorry. You're only getting part. Oh, I don't want to hear
Kelly,
from you.
Draw mine!
Greg Bakken. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Who is the winner?
The winner is Melissa Peterson in room lucky number 13.
All right, Melissa, enjoy that SB7, courtesy of Minnesota Ghost Box, After Hours AM, Things That Go Bump Minnesota. Thank you guys all for coming down here. You guys have made this remote a lot of fun. One of the best remotes I've done in a long time with the best crowd. And it's a lot of fun. I guess September we're doing it again, Greg. We locked ourselves in. Man. Locked us in for another remote. We will be here again.
Give me time to sober up, right?
Exactly. Did you hear that, Eric? We gave away an SB7, man.
Well, naturally, it went to room 13.
You're right. It did. You're right. I didn't think about that.
Is it a coincidence?
I probably think it is. But, you know, we'll go with that. We'll go with, you know, it being, but anyhow, it was great to give that away. Again, we're giving away more stuff throughout the weekend. I got some books that Llewellyn has shipped us for the for giving away through radio. I got those to give away all weekend. So we're not done yet. Even after the show, we're still not done. We got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Who knows? I have thought about maybe cracking the mic tomorrow night one more time.
Nice.
And talking more about what's going on here at the Palmer. And all that kind of good stuff, but you know we're almost done with this first hour of the show, and really, you know, it is kind of really overwhelming. This building is a little overwhelming.
Do you feel the energy?
I do.
Feeling it all over you, right?
I do. And the more I talk, and I assure you, it's not the grain alcohol I'm drinking. I assure you that it is spirits that are around us. It's kind of weird. When they said that the Palmer will surround you, they were not kidding. I can actually, sitting here, you can almost feel that we're not alone. And there's a lot more people in this room that we can't see.
Got a lot of friends in here, and not all living. So it's really cool.
That's all right. My best friends have been decrepit and dead anyway sometimes, you know. But my dog was dead for the first 2 years. Didn't realize it.
I just thought it was slow.
You should eat some food. No, you really should.
It was a stuffed dog, you see. No. It was stuffed, right? And it was living once until the UPS man hit it. And I know. It's a true story. I know. And then my grandfather was a taxidermist. He's like, hey, I need some practice. Give me that damn dog. I know, right? It is horrible. It's a horrible story. I didn't mean to offend anyone that loves dogs, although I know I just did that. But that is the story of my dead dog that I love so much. I'm just trying to fill time right now. No, just kidding. I'd like to have Kelly one more time pop on, if you wouldn't mind, and tell everyone mainly, you know, what is your busiest seasons for the Palmer, and if they want to come here and investigate, what do they have to do that? Who do they got to talk to?
Me directly. That's okay. Not something that you can just call and schedule something like that, like you would calling to book a room.
Sure.
I run people through the ringer before I let them come in. Not going to lie. You have to have a pretty thick skin. But my building and my unregistered guests is my number one priority. And so even Ghost Adventures worked me for 3 years before I would let them come. I take it that seriously.
Sure. Sure. That is really well said, Kelly. I just want to end this segment on that note, letting people know how they can get here, maybe approach you, but also how much you love the building.
Absolutely.
And that's really paramount, is the way you taking care of it. We got to run a break. We come back. Thank you for listening to this edition of After Hours AM, and please remember to like us on Facebook and also follow us over on Twitter. We'll be right back.